Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 165. My name is John. Riding high, I got tears in my eyes. You know, you gotta go through hell before you get to heaven. Before I start with the bulk of what my podcast is actually about this month, I just want to quickly give you an update on things. Basically, with the exception of my time with the beautiful Gina, life is kind of coming at me from all angles right now. Work is kind of pissing me off. My life outside of my home, the other members of my family, is kind of pissing me off. And when I say kind of pissing me off, I mean like it's really bad. So I haven't had a lot of time to work on any podcasts. My idea was to do these once a month and have them be around 30 to 35 minutes. I just can't do that anymore. At least not for the time being, not until I can get things back in order for me. So for now, I'm going to put the podcast out at whatever time is going to work for me, whether that's half an hour or 15 minutes, that's what it's going to be. And as things settle down in my life, hopefully I can get back to where I once was. In the meantime, I'm going to talk about Batman vs. Superman, a retro review. And if you haven't seen the movie, well, it's been around for a while. You should get out there and watch it, especially if you like comic books. If you like Batman, if you like Superman, if you like Wonder Woman, check it out. There's obviously going to be some spoilers in here. Even though I'm really talking about a very specific theme in the movie. Anyway, when I was growing up in the 80s, comic books were, well, they were making a resurgence. There was a distinct period of, well, foolishness brought about in the 50s when the industry was forced into strict, self-imposed guidelines by fear-mongers, turning their myopic opinion into fame by scaring panicky parents over the funny books their kids were reading. This led to a lot of silly, safe, kitschy stories that people of a certain age regard fondly, and too many people think of when they think of what a comic book is supposed to be. That era led up to the 60s Batman television show that, once again, people fondly remember. But in the 70s, some creators tried to push the envelope. Neil Adams and Denny O'Neill brought serious stories in to DC. They brought it to Batman by returning him to his darker roots, and to Green Lantern by pairing him with Green Arrow, dealing with the strife of modern America. I came to comics in the wake of those seminal runs. I began in the late 70s and early 80s, and I gravitated toward DC. I've told the story before that I discovered superheroes through the Super Friends Saturday morning cartoon show when I was 6 years old, but I got hooked on comics by reading my very first book, Flash number 275, which includes a woman using her mental powers to try to force Flash into an affair, his wife thinking he's having an affair, people being secretly drugged with PCP, a deranged escaped prisoner who's been subjected to illegal experimentation, and of course, the big one, the death of the title character's wife. Yes, Flash's wife, Iris, was murdered in the very first comic book I ever bought. Marvel was doing socially conscious stories in their books, and they had a reputation of doing more than DC to use their characters in realistic stories. I remember my friends who preferred Marvel saying that they liked seeing those characters deal with real-world problems because that made them more relatable. DC, to them, was too safe. brightly colored superheroes who always won, always saved the day, and always saved the innocent bystanders. I don't entirely agree with that, but it is somewhat of a fair assessment for that time. It's amazing how that has been flipped when it comes to their movie universes. DC became too serious and too dark. Marvel has the bright, colorful heroes who never lose. Yeah. People get all freaked out about the destruction of Metropolis in Man of Steel. But in the first Avengers movie, Hulk rampages through packed office buildings, giant alien creatures slam into buildings, and thousands of Chitauri soldiers wreak havoc. But miraculously, no one died. And the man on the street interviews afterward sing their praises. That's exactly the things that DC was mocked for back in my youth. Hell, those differences in the universes were even highlighted in the JLA Avengers crossover back in the early 2000s. DC decides to tell stories a little darker, a little bit more mature, a little bit more grounded in their movies, and everyone loses their minds. Now, you can't talk about Batman vs. Superman without its lead-in, and I've talked about Man of Steel before, so I'll try to keep this part brief, but the movie Man of Steel makes it very clear that this version of Clark Kent kept his power secret, so much so that, despite the occasional arguments with Jonathan, one look and gesture from his father stopped Clark from using his powers in front of witnesses, even though it meant the death of Jonathan. That's how fearful the Kents were of the public finding out about their son. Let's be honest. That makes perfect sense in the world we live in. Yes, this is comic book fiction, but just imagine for a brief moment that somewhere in a small town in the middle of Kansas, we find out that an alien who looks just like a human is living among us. And he's impervious to any attack, from small arms to nuclear warheads, and could destroy all life on the planet if he chose. I mean, you can think about how you would react, but think about how others would react. How many people would truly trust him? What would the government do? You know damn well what they would do. Try to contain him. Try to control him. Just like they tried to do in both Man of Steel and Batman vs. Superman. And take a look at what Superman does. Yeah, sure, he rescues people from a flood and a ship stuck in the ice. But he also saves Russian cosmonauts from an exploding rocket. Imagine what the leaders of our nation would say, on either side of the political aisle, about someone aiding Russia today. Even something like that. And what about those jealous of the power? Those who fear what that power may do? What if Jeff Bezos decided this alien was too powerful and needed to be stopped? What if Bezos decided to funnel every penny of his fortune into finding ways to destroy this alien? What if he used Amazon as a way to finance his secret goal of destroying that one life? See, when you think about the real life implications of something like that happening, it brings you into that universe, making for a much deeper and interesting story. It's not just a man dressed in vivid primary colors punching the bad guy to some grand John Williams score. And let me build on that with another thought. Everyone thinks of Superman as this perfect beacon of hope in the superhero world. But that's what he's become since his splashy debut 80 plus years ago. If you really think about it, he was really just the big gun for the first few decades of his existence. The idea of him as that beacon of hope really doesn't stand out until the 70s. How does this character become a beacon for other superheroes and for regular folks as well? Well, yeah, ask a person who hasn't picked up a comic book in 30 years and only knows Superman from the Christopher Reeve movies, and he'll say, well, he's farm-raised in Kansas, and his parents taught him their values, and that's all he needs. The second he puts on that flowing red cape, everyone's inspired. How utterly dull. First off, you should be afraid of a person with that kind of unchallenged confidence. The more a person is sure that they are right, the more likely they're a secret megalomaniac. The person who is not sure, or the person who has been humbled by mistakes, is the person who will not let their ego overrule their mind. Lex Luthor is the kind of person who is so sure of himself that anyone who disagrees with him should be subdued or eliminated. Even Batman has been like that in stories where his obsession for control puts others in danger. A Superman like that is either one who will end up a dictator like the Injustice storyline, or some overly powerful, milquetoast version people seem to crave more out of nostalgia than any desire to have an interesting character. Everyone wants Superman to be this beacon of hope who always does the right thing, always wins in the end, and smiles at the camera before flying off into the sunrise. I'm here to tell you that the story of how Superman rises to that point is important, maybe even more important. And to gloss over that in favor of some yearning to rekindle the spirit of Christopher Reeve is a disservice to the character. The arc of the Snyderverse was meant to bring Superman to that point, and as he rises, he inspires the other heroes along the way. I mean, you think about it. In the Snyderverse, Batman has lost his way. Wonder Woman and Martian Manhunter stayed hidden from the world. Aquaman didn't even want to be a hero. And Flash and Cyborg were still coming to terms with their abilities. Superman himself was still relatively new and very much a novice. Again, touching back on a previous podcast about the Man of Steel, Superman doesn't know how to fight. That's why he struggles in his fight with Zod. Zod is a trained soldier. Clark Kent is a farmer who shied away from adversity lest his powers kick in and people find out about his abilities. Or worse, he hurts or kills someone. The fact that Zod is still learning to use his powers during the fight is the only advantage Superman has. That's also why he doesn't stop to save the innocent people below, because he's in a fight for his life, and he doesn't know how to handle both the fight in front of him and the innocents below. That's also why, in the end, he kills Zod. He really didn't have any other choice, given his situation. They don't know about Kryptonite yet in this story. So there's nothing that can subdue or weaken Zod. Zod is hell-bent on genocide of the entire human race. If Clark doesn't end him there, the world will be destroyed. And again, for those of you who think Superman doesn't kill, you are absolutely wrong. He's killed, and he has killed Zod specifically in the comics and in the movies before. And no, the deleted scene from Superman 2 doesn't count. Christopher Reeve's Superman let Terrence Stamp's Zod fall to an icy death. The only difference is Reeves' Superman smiled at Lois as they let the three Phantom Zone villains die, whereas Henry Cavill's Superman was instantly grief-stricken over what he had done. Now you tell me which Superman is more relatable. Anyway, the Snyderverse Superman was nowhere near the beacon of hope he would become. And it's important that he have his doubts and he have his detractors in the media. And that only makes sense because anyone trying to do what he or thinks is best will never have 100% support. I want to focus on two bits of dialogue from Batman vs. Superman. I know it's a polarizing movie for a lot of people, but if you hold back the bias of what you think it should be and consider it for what it is, you'll find it a much more fulfilling story. The first dialogue comes from Clark's vision of Jonathan Kent on the mountaintop. Now, I'm not going to read the full scene, but let me recap Jonathan's story about the floodwaters threatening the Kent farm. Jonathan talks about how he and his father stayed up all night working to divert the water from washing away their farm, and they succeeded. Jonathan even says that his mother baked him a cake for saving the farm. Then they find out that the floodwaters they diverted ended up destroying the Lang farm instead. Jonathan said that in his sleep, he could hear the sounds of their horses drowning. And it wasn't until he met Martha that the nightmares went away. Now, as odd as the scene seems to the viewer to have a dead character appear in a vision, it sums up all of Jonathan's fears for Clark, and it parallels the turmoil Clark feels for trying to do what he thinks is right, but getting so much hatred and backlash from people, politicians, and the media. Clark now understands all of Jonathan's concerns about what would happen if people found out about Clark's powers. Now Clark is grown, and people know about his powers. This is Jonathan's fear come true of how Clark views himself, trying to do the right thing, but unable to silence the voices necessary to endure the consequences. No matter what you do, there will always be consequences, and there will always be unintended negative consequences. For Jonathan, he helped save his family's farm only to ensure the destruction of another family's farm. Jonathan was happy to save the farm, and he was certainly praised for doing so. He didn't know what he was doing would affect the Lang family, but when he found out what happened, it ate him up inside. Even by doing something right, he still felt guilt over how it affected others. No matter what you do, there will always be someone who thinks you're hurting them or you're failing them. Superman saves some cosmonauts, he's anti-American. He's just doing what he thinks is right and what he thinks is best. But that doesn't matter to the naysayers. There will always be journalists and politicians and average people on the street who will have a negative opinion no matter how much good Superman does. That's just the way it is. By the end of Batman vs. Superman, Clark has learned that so long as he has Lois, his love for her will guide his choices. Clark is dealing with people who fear him because he's an alien, people who fear him because of his power, and people who want to control him because they want him to bend to their ideology and their interest. It's pretty much what all the politicians and the military people want to do in those two movies. That's the whole reason Superman went to the Senate hearing at the Capitol, because the politicians wanted him to answer for the things he was falsely accused of doing. Lex Luthor sums up the collective fears on the helipad. And this is the second piece of dialogue. "I figured out way back that if God is all-powerful, he cannot be all good. And if he is all good, then he cannot be all powerful." Now, I don't know about you, but if I said something like that in my youth to the fundamentalist Christian people I grew up around, I would have gotten, at best, a stern talking to. They would say something along the lines of, "Of course God is all good because he's the embodiment of all goodness and he is all powerful." But again, that's a matter of perspective, isn't it? Then you get those questions from the doubters. Why does God let bad things happen to good people? For those of you who take an interest in such things, there actually is a passage in the Old Testament, in the book of Habakkuk, I believe, where the author asks God something akin to that. Why do bad things happen to good people? God doesn't answer. He directs the author to other things about creation. In essence, God says, "I'm not going to tell you." Is that goodness? Maybe it is to God, but it just made me doubt more. If God created everything, then he also created evil. Is that goodness? Again, when there is the ability to create perfection and happiness, and you purposely refuse that ideal, is that goodness? Maybe to God, but not to us tiny little creations mulling about in the world, trying to pursue a little bit of happiness. And God says he's going to come back, and depending upon which interpretation you believe, he could be sending the majority of humanity to eternal torture. That goodness? Some would see that as an atrocity. Even though Lex has grown and has built his business empire, he's still afraid that the tyranny he felt from his abusive father has manifested itself into this powerful alien as a new possible tyrannical threat. What better way to deal with a fear so powerful, then turned the fear back on that powerful alien? He uses the promise of harm to Martha to goad Superman into fighting Batman. And remember, Lex said he planned to show the fight to the public so they could see Superman in a negative light. And yeah, even Superman succumbs to the altercation with Batman, who just won't listen to reason. And I'm glad, because that shows that even Superman can make a bad decision. And just real quick, yes, the whole Martha thing could have been handled better. What should have happened is Lois should have come in at just the right moment and convinced Batman to stand down. And afterward, after things have cooled off, Batman could have reacted when he discovers the similar name. There, problem solved. Even Superman has flaws. He must, if he's going to overcome them and become the beacon of hope to others. That's why the Snyderverse story was working. But people were too blinded by their preconceived notions of who and what Superman is to take the story for what it was in front of them and see the character growing. I'm really sad we're never going to get to see the culmination of this story. I like the flawed Superman. I prefer the flawed Superman. It's the pedestal he's put on by so many including some comic book writers, that keeps me from liking the character more. Without seeing him overcome his flaws, you can't really see him as an inspiration to overcome your own flaws. He's then just a god who's had it easy. But you see, Superman isn't a god. Not in the real world, not even in the fictional multiverse. If you treat Superman like some benevolent deity in your story, then you're missing out on the depth of the character. But I guess if that's what's going to sell tickets, that's probably what we're going to get. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.